At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Beau.
And I'm Belle. What is funny about my voice?
Ooh, it's Spooky Bell.
I'm Phantom Bell.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Insert 1950s creepy noises.
Oh man, we've got an episode to talk about right here, of course, on the Flash TV Talk podcast. The TV Talk podcast bringing you the Flash season 8. Really excited for it, man. Before we dive into the Flash, though, I got to tell you, because we mentioned it last week, that we're kind of contemplating maybe doing a little bit of a Halo TV Talk in here as well. And I saw that Paramount?
Spearmint. The S is silent and also invisible.
Spearmint Gum has their own streaming service.
No. Yes, it is. It is Paramount.
All right, so Paramount. I do not have the streaming service, and so that's kind of one of those things. I see good things coming from it, but at the same time, you got to make decisions, and so it has not been top of mind. But they made a very smart decision, which is they released the first episode of Halo on YouTube for free. So I just noticed this yesterday. I'm about 15 minutes maybe in. And I am very excited. I was like, oh, I don't know why I had low. Well, I guess I had low expectations because it's a film/show based on a video game, and that very rarely ever works.
But it's very loosely adapted, I will say that.
Well, I got to tell you, man, so far from what I've seen, like, even though it may be loosely adapted, some of the deep lore seems to be in place. But again, I'm only 15 minutes in, and I think you're like two episodes, so I'm not on.
Yeah, I've seen the first two. I really like the first episode, and yeah, we can talk about it on a thing if we want.
Okay.
The second episode is still interesting in the context of the story that they're trying to tell, but it has diverged at this point to be
something different.
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't say unrecognizable, but just something very, very different.
Wow. Okay. All right. Interesting. That is, I think it's safe to say that a Halo TV Talk is coming. The interest is there, and yes, that'll be good. So we'll hopefully be doing a nice little recap of season one. And what we'll do is, like we've done in the past, if we can time it appropriately, which I hope we can, we'll do kind of a binge, so to speak, of the first few episodes of the season and try to release that right before the season finale. And then we'll do kind of a wrap up with the season finale episode. That's what we've done with some of these streaming shows in the past. And it's been fun because it allows for some speculation. And man, when I say speculation, this is a good episode for speculation because we got a lot of speculation coming your way right here, right now on Flash TV Talk. Belle, you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's jump into the rundown. Episode 9 of Season 8, Phantoms, directed by Steven Plaszynski and story by
Jeff Hirsch.
All right, Belle, what happened to this episode?
Well, Dion visits Iris to treat her for her, quote, time sickness, and though he is unsure of what it is or how she contracted it, Barry and Chester discover another incinerated body and collect a mysterious black flame from it. Later, Chester has a nightmare of the flame breaking out of the container. However, soon after, the black flame actually does escape, causing Chester to fear that the flame is the ghost of his father, Quincy. It manifests as him and strikes again. Cecile realizes that the flame is feeding off of Chester's grief. Chester, however, rejects the entity and it disappears. Joe returns and states that the incinerated victims were dealing with grief and that the team deduces that the Black Flame is a sentient entity feeding off of grief in order to survive. Meanwhile, Iris and Sue Dearborn travel to Coast City to investigate the Coast City Phantom, who they identify is Tinya Wazo. While searching for her, Iris opens up to Sue about her time sickness. They find Tinya at her missing adoptive mother's home. She has also been searching for her birth mother, who abandoned her, and Iris convinces her to come with her and Sue. That night, Dion visits Iris with bad news.
Dun, dun, dun! All right, so yes, this episode has a lot of fodder for speculation, so there's probably going to be a lot more speedster speculation than perhaps recap. I don't know. We'll have to see how it all goes. But, not to tip the bean can too heavily here at the front, but I have to admit, man, this season so far has had so many great episodes, so many winners across the board, that this episode kind of felt a little bit like a, not necessarily a stumble, but maybe like a lull, perhaps even like a, I don't want to call it filler, because again, we got a lot to be able to kind of like chew on here in terms of speculation, but I don't know, this episode didn't quite do it for me. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Yeah, so it was interesting, right? Because I felt like Chester's issues with his father were resolved in the episodes where they went back in time and visited.
Right? Yeah. Like that felt so like we've been here before, and it's a sweet story, you know, and I liked the way in which they even even acknowledge the fact that they've done this already by pulling scenes from previous episodes. But at the same, and it did pull at the heartstrings. I'm not going to lie. Like those were kind of some nice emotional moments throughout, but it did feel like we've been here before.
Yeah. And Chester, he brought it, right? He brought his A game. You know, his emotions were out there, and they were, and like, you know, he acted very well in the scenes that he did. But yeah, I just felt like this was a rehash because we've done this before. Like we had this character growth with Chester, and then to sort of like reverse that character growth and then show us scenes from the episode where he gained the character growth.
Right.
It's like, what is going on? Why are we doing this? Like, I get they wanted to, what's the word I'm looking for? They wanted to expand on the story and give us more information about this meta. And I guess they wanted to do it in a way that involved Team Flash directly. And so I presume, why couldn't it have been Allegra and Esperanza?
Well, and that's a great question, Bo. I mean, like, there's other characters here, obviously, with dead loved ones and trauma to kind of pull from. I mean, I do think there's value in having kind of a Chester-centric storyline for sure. But at the same time, you know, I'm also glad that it wasn't Nora again. You know what I mean? Like yes. I do guess there an argument can be made that we've kind of revisited a lot of dead loved ones kind of over and over and over. You know, it is kind of a trope of the show that that's a well they continue to go back to. But I don't know. So I guess from that standpoint, it's not as, repetitive as perhaps some of the other stories they could have told. And this helps do kind of like this shifting cup game, if you will, of the story of the Black Flame. And we're going to kind of talk more about that, obviously, in speculation. But like I said, this is probably going to be a fairly speculation-heavy episode because of the way in which they're setting up this villain. And, you know, it's introduced in kind of like last week as like, oh, well, you know, it's just a meta serial killer and here's a couple of hot people. Well, maybe it's the hot people. Well, no, it's not the hothead. It's not him. Okay, so it's not him. And so now it's like, oh, It's like this ghost of Chester's dad. So it's like, oh, it's like a dead thing. And it's like, well, no, that's not it. And it's feeding off of grief. And there's just a lot of little clues that they've been layering out. And what I think in previous seasons may have been more kind of like a villain of the week type of, you know, approach to the episodes or the bad guy. They're using that same villain of the week formula, but they're layering in these different aspects of kind of who this grand villain is. And I think that's done very well. It just happens in a bit of a story that we've gotten before, but I like how you acknowledged it, man. Chester, I felt like, you know, it was obviously we were able to kind of connect with his story and relate to him. I think we also got a chance to see the way in which the team really wraps around him and kind of the love that's there. It also really made me appreciate further the dynamic that they're kind of establishing between Allegra and Chester. Feels like they're still kind of finding their feet a little bit story-wise in terms of how they want to tell this love story. But I think that there is something very fascinating about kind of that meta-human relationship. We've been talking about it. I've been talking about it a lot this season, of how we need those dichotomies of, you know, the human and the superhuman. And sometimes that really kind of plays out in personal relationships, especially when it's a romantic relationship. The problem is right now, we're not seeing a lot of that from Barry and Iris. In fact, in this episode, they're even further separated, having, of all things, a Zoom call at the end of the episode, when it's like, Barry, you ran to China like to pick up food like a couple weeks ago. You can't just like pop over to your wife's like luxury condo for like a chat and then come home. You gotta Zoom it.
It's too dangerous. You guys,
the Russians are listening in on that, Barry. I'm just saying, like, that is not as secure.
It's too dangerous. If he were to leave Central City for even a moment, the ghost flame dead grief monster thing will strike and kill someone.
Well, I do think maybe there is an argument there, right? Like, if he's trying, he's glad that Iris is out of pocket because she's safe. And so if he goes there, the chances are he alerts the flame to, you know, someone else's location that he loves or something of that nature. So, okay, fair enough. Fair point. Let's talk about Iris taking this little getaway with Sue. Sue is back.
Yes, again.
Yes. And I got to tell you, I do like the Sue philanthropist kind of coming in like a Lex Luthor-esque type of role, or perhaps a Bruce Wayne, if you will, type role, of being kind of like a kind of that Daddy Warbucks. Well, you need some money. You know, I got some money, right? You need a building. I got a build, you know, like instantly like money fix a situation and then also maybe get us a new set from time to time. I thought actually she worked pretty well this episode.
So yeah, less Selina Kyle and more Sluice Wayne.
I tell you what, she was a better Bruce Wayne than Tom Pattinson or whatever the kid's name is.
Robert Pattinson?
Robert Pattinson. He was not a great Bruce Wayne. He was a great Batman. He's a fantastic Batman. But he was very like, you know, if there's a criticism that could be laid on his performance, that is Bruce Wayne wasn't very classic Bruce Wayne. I would say that she comes in with a little bit more of that, you know, billionaire playboy or billionaire playgirl in this case. And, you know, has a little bit more of that vibe as opposed to the emo bat.
But I mean, that's, you know, that's year two Batman. So he's got to get into his swing of things, right?
No, exactly. No, it's fine. So I know that a lot of people have you know, expressed frustration over the way that the series has kind of reinvented Sue. That's never been us. We've all been we've been about kind of this kind of interesting take on Sue, and I will say that it's applied better here in this capacity. And so would love to see more, because she does reintroduce again that human element into the show. And I like her not as a series regular, but as kind of some seasoning on the show. I think a lot of these characters can really work well as seasoning on the show, especially when they're kind of tangentially that one connected to Team Flash.
Yeah. So I will say this though. Speaking of like, you know, characters being like, you know, spliced in for sort of flavor and whatnot, much like how Sue is being used in this episode, when I saw the title of the episode, I knew it was never going to happen, and you know, this was, you know, a complete and total dream. But like, I would have loved to have seen Ben Affleck in this episode.
Oh, he would have been the bomb in Phantoms.
Because Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Well, he would have been, but he wasn't even in the episode. Next time somebody says Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, we got to point out he was not in the episode.
Yeah.
But he would have been. He would have been the bomb.
He would have been the bomb in the Phantoms. That's all I'm saying. He would have been the bomb in Phantoms.
It's true. Yeah. However, Phantom Girl was here. So we are going on this adventure to find this meta. Iris feels very much like, you know, this could be an opportunity to reintroduce another hero. Kind of questionable as to why. Like, what is it about what's going on with Iris, her time sickness, the fear of losing time, that is kind of pushing her into this space of like, you know, I want to launch the Flash, but who else can I launch? Like what other stories are there here for me to tell? And with a very specific focus on metas and metas that can become heroes. We are introduced to Phantom Girl. This is, as you said, Tinya Wazo.
Yeah. Tinya Wazo, I think.
All right. So admittedly, I've been going back. My wife and I have been, rewatching 30 Rock, and, there's a character that pops up in the latter seasons whose name is Wazername. Like, her last name is Wazername. And, and so whenever I see Wazo, I think of Wazername. It's Tinya Wazername. Wazo.
Yeah. Wazo. Yeah.
But this
I hadn't seen that. I am sorry.
Ah, it's perfectly fine. Wazername was not exactly a fan favorite, but
I think
the naming convention and the actress are fantastic. Anyway, here back on to Phantoms. We got, she is actually a character from the comics of Phantom Girl. She is, if I'm not mistaken, this is a member of the Legion of Heroes from the future. So I don't think this is that version. I don't think this is that Phantom Girl, all things considered, but
yeah, her direct descendant, perhaps, or not descendant, but ancestor. Yes, direct ancestor.
I don't know. We are getting a lot of teases about like future names and future people. You know, we've referenced the fact that Booster Gold has had a couple of interesting little nods here and there that have been Easter eggs throughout this season. So who knows? Who knows where they're going?
He's a time traveler, though, so that.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. The Legion of Superheroes is in the future as well. And so I'm thinking that it's possible that we could be seeing, and probably related to Iris's time sickness, not only is she losing time, but we could have a situation where she's completely taken out of time and maybe even finds herself in the future or has to go to the future in order to get, you know, a permanent solution. Let's talk about this time sickness thing. Overall, not a great storyline.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I can't really identify where they're going with it, other than just to have some kind of other crisis kind of thing that Team Flash is going to have to deal with. It's going to impact Barry and Iris, and you know, bring drama and stuff, right? Like but I don't know. I mean, I hadn't seen anything yet of how it's tying in anything else.
Yeah, it's. It feels very forced, especially, you know, you say you don't really see where they're going with it. I don't think they see where they're going with it. You know, I mean, like, okay, so the Still Force is treating it. He was the one that identified she has time sickness, but he doesn't know what time sickness is, and yet he's able to treat it. Okay? So that...
We're still under the impression that the time sickness bit was... something to that went in last season because of like scheduling conflicts with Candace.
I don't know. I mean, even with this one, I'm wondering if there's some sort of scheduling conflict or something going on, but it just feels weird. It does not feel very thought out. And while I do think there's some cool concepts they could play around with that storyline, I think even the way in which they're communicating it to us feels a little uninteresting. And a little disjointed. You know, we always kind of make the meme, right, about the, you know, Speed Force, the dude with the aliens, but it's the Speed Force. This kind of feels like that, but Still Force. You
know? Yeah.
So, yeah. Scary concept. I mean, like, all right, if we lean in, right, like if we kind of, you know, be gracious here and lean into the storyline, it's a scary concept that you know have this kind of cosmic based situation going on. She even, like, when she was explaining it to Sue, she's like, all right, I'll tell you, but it's gonna get weird. You
know,
and so it's like this grander situation that's going on with your body. You are literally losing time. It's kind of that dementia type of, you know, it's like super dementia, right?
Yeah, I would it be?
Isn't that dementia? I mean, I think that's right.
Or would it? I mean, there's amnesia. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe it's amnesia. I thought dementia is where you kind of like lose time, like you kind of black out. You don't know where you are, or how you got there, that sort of thing.
I mean, that's like a fugue state.
Well, I'm no scientist.
It's like amnesia is like, you know, forgetting things. Like, you know, you get in a car accident, you don't remember anything that happened prior, you know, before that day or whatever. Not like you forget your entire past, but like, you know, you can't remember 24 hours prior to the accident or something like
interesting
that, you
know? Okay, so, and it's like super amnesia then.
Yeah, kind of like amnesia, or like amnesia and a fugue state rolled into one. Because she comes to and she's like, I don't really know where I am or what time it is, and so I lost this time, but like I have no recollection of what happened prior to the, you know, the incident and stuff. So yeah, it's like an amnesiac fugue state.
Okay, you keep saying fugue state. I have no earthly idea what that is.
Okay, you've seen Breaking Bad, right?
As a TV talk podcast, it would be certainly brand damaging for me to admit I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Okay, well, so it's basically like, I don't know if it's...
Bell MD, here we go.
Yeah, it's like a mental and behavioral disorder.
Okay.
Where you, it's very rare, but you have like amnesia for your own personal memories and your personality and other identifying characteristics of your individuality, basically. So like they can last months or days. It's like, you know, people who have these things happen to them, they'll, you know, all of a sudden just be in a spot and they don't know how they got there. And it's been days since the last time they can remember something.
Interesting. Okay. Then yes, that is more in line with what we're dealing with here, because she's not literally being taken out of the timeline. Like, she did things. Clearly we saw that with her situation with Joe. So yeah, well, it's a scary situation, and it's understandable to some extent that she's doing the kind of thing like, okay, I'm not panicking. I'm gonna go out of town. Yeah, let's go.
Well, you know, she said she wanted to take her mind off of it and like distract herself from right. the whole thing. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't really know. You know, is that distraction worth, like, I mean, she's basically trying to like out a superhero or somebody with meta powers in a city where they're not really used to it. So yeah. Like, who knows yeah. what's going to happen with that? Like, it seems kind of dangerous for Iris, or maybe not dangerous, but irresponsible for Iris to do this to Tinya. I mean, they're going to help her now. Like, that's their goal. Before it was to, like, you know, break a story on her, but now it seems like their goals have shifted to just helping her find her mom. So I think that's less dangerous, but like their intentions to begin with about being like, hey, we're going to break a story about you. And what if she doesn't want that? Like, that's right. That was just kind of weird.
We're going to out you as a meta. I mean, no, yeah. there is kind of that little bit of a, it's like, oh, the Flash, ever heard of him? Yeah. Yeah. That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that. Listen,
kid. I think you could be huge. You could be as big as the Flash. I helped launch his career. I'm gonna launch yours as well. Yeah. It's gonna be crazy.
So we'll see where that ends up going. But I do think that what's going on here, if I could just kind of speculate a bit, is that, you know, because she's losing time, I think this is a woman who has like been on death's doorstep so many times. You know, like, there's just been so many seasons where it's like, oh, you know, something terrible is about to happen. Either she's supposed to die at the end of the season, or Barry is supposed to disappear at the end of this year, or, oh, she watched her child, like, die in front of her, or, like, be erased from the timeline. You know, so there's a lot of, she's had a lot. She's had a lot. And now on top of that, she has time sickness. This is where I feel like, you know, again, the human elements can really kind of come in a big way when it's like, okay, at some point, you know, if you just kind of run through the ringer. So yeah, I feel like there's a rightful amount of exhaustion that we're kind of getting from Iris, because she's been through a lot. And now on top of this, she's got time sickness of all things.
Yeah, and like this new meta would be a perfect opportunity for her to like deal with that grief, right? Because this thing feeds off of grief, and she's had all these things happen to her. We've seen Barry, he's gone through his things where he's dealt with his grief and he's become stronger because of it and things like that, but we haven't really seen that for Iris. So it might be nice, just if they didn't have the time sickness thing to go along, just to have Iris be, you know, the focus of this entity, and then like having her confront that grief and deal with it and come out stronger on the other side. Like that's a good human story, right? Yeah. And they're defeating a meta at the same time. But instead we have time sickness, and I don't know.
I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. I don't know. We'll see where it ends up going. It may end up being something cool.
It could be.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm holding my judgment until we get more, you know, info on it. Cause I feel like there's going to be a big reveal next episode based on what Dion said at the end of this one. And you know,
I mean, maybe. They keep on teasing something about time sickness, and then we never actually get anything the next episode. Remember, like, we got the comb, and then we got the, you know, the thing with her dad, and now we got Dion saying, like, oh, something bad's happening.
Well, right, but they actually had Dion say something is bad, and so I think we're gonna have some kind of explanation. They can't just like not do anything about it. The episode with her dad and the brush disappearing is kind of like teasery things, right? But yeah, now okay. we have the big reveal on the horizon. It's got to be like there can't be some kind of. They can't just be like, oh yeah, Dion said it's bad, and then like we spend 4 or 5 episodes and just there's no Iris and no talk about time sickness. That would be terrible storytelling.
We don't talk about time sickness. we weren't going to talk about Dion, but then Dion came back. In all fairness, Dion
I told you he was coming back. I said it too. You were like, no, they're not bringing him back.
No, I mean, no, it's fine. Notice he didn't say mom. He did say siblings, but he didn't call her mom, which was good. That was good.
And that's fine. They can be siblings, but Iris and Barry aren't their parents.
No, and they did. That seems to be that that's good. They handled that well.
I am okay with that, and that is fine. And we're going to pretend like they never ever referred to them as their parents, and that never happened. And they're siblings because they have this connection with the forces, and that's fine. But no mom, no dad. Good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. There you go. I like it. I like it. Also, Dion was always the more like most easily digestible, so to speak, of all the speed for or of all the forces. So,
yeah.
If we've got one, I'm glad it's him. All right. So yes, there you go. But all of this, man, is all you know. This episode really was kind of centered around the continued mystery of who is this serial killer. There was kind of this thought that perhaps this person was using the flame, this kind of black flame, this dark flame, as kind of a tool or a weapon. And we saw it actually manifest this episode as Quincy in front of Chester as it was kind of feeding off this grief. We got a chance to learn that. But the big question that we're going to dive into this week, of course, is who is this black flame? It's clearly not a tool. It's a person or an entity or a thing. And that's going to bring us to this week's Speedster Speculation. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow.
Hold on. At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man. Speedster Speculation. The black flame, a dark flame, burns in the hearts of men and women, consuming them by their grief, living to grieve again.
Go back to the shadows, flame of Udoon.
They need Gandalf is what they need. They just need Gandalf.
Yeah. That's exactly what they should have done. It would have been great. Actually, it would have been funny. You know, I feel like actually that would have been a Cisco thing. Cisco, if it was going after Cisco, or going after Chester and Cisco was here, Cisco would have had some sort of like, you know, black flame begone technology, Cisco tech, and he would have showed up. It probably would have been done as a staff just to get the bit. And then he would have come and said, "You shall not pass," and slam it down.
Yes, yes. And that would have, that should happen. I mean, it would work for Chester too. He's into D&D. That's like fantasy stuff. Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah.
Fantasy. So like,
oh,
I mean,
yes, that's a great point, Bell.
Yeah, like I think honestly it would work because Cisco is more Star Wars science fiction. I think Chester's more fantasy. Like as far as their like, you know, interests.
Yeah, no, that's
science.
That's a great catch.
It's happening. It's happening. The writers are listening. They hear it.
Well, okay, so then the big question, of course, is like, who or what is this thing? Last week, you made the speculation that I think is really solid, that we're dealing with a death storm, which, of course, is a firestorm, the ghost of firestorm, kind of a variant of that character. We got, like I mentioned before, some revelations about how this thing operates that's consuming off of grief. You know, I think about even last week when we got a chance to see it like engaging with some of its victims, we saw it from the flames' perspective and how they were reacting. And we were led to believe that it was, you know, hothead Jack Black. But it turned out that now we can kind of look back on those episodes and see that they were actually seeing somebody connected with their personal grief. You know what I mean?
But what doesn't make any sense to here's the question that I have about that, right? Yeah, we see it through the eyes of the flame. I'm assuming the flame is invisible because people can't really see it. But why wouldn't Discount Blackjack be like Discount Jack Black? Or maybe that is his name. I don't know, because it's, you know, it's a reverse. Yeah, okay. Anyway, why wouldn't he be like, yeah, I went over there, I was angry, and then she just all of a sudden burst into a black flame and was consumed?
Because Discount Blackjack, Jack Black, he wanted the mystery. He wanted us as an audience to speculate.
I mean, but like his innocence was just right there in front of him. Like, it wasn't me. It was a black flame. Look, here's me burning something, and here's what this corpse looks like.
Oh, you know what? That's actually a really good point. And on top of that, it actually would have even tied deeper to Barry's story, because it was like, oh, it wasn't my dad. It was this burst of lightning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She just erupted as if struck by lightning or something like that. Yeah. And then that would bam, like that would totally trigger Barry to be like, all right, this dude's telling the truth. He mentioned lightning. He's a dad who doesn't want to get taken away from his son. Kudos, bonus points on there. Dude's innocent.
I mean, like, you know, that could have worked, but I don't mind it. I think it's fine that they partitioned it out the way they did.
It's just kind of like plot holey kind of things that are, you know, they're just nitpicks. It's nothing really too serious.
Plot holes? What are you talking about, Bell? This series doesn't have any plot holes.
No. None of those.
We just got to crisis it all away. It's going to be fine. So here's my question for you. Are you still on the mindset that this is Death Storm? Is that still your main speculation?
When I saw that black and white flame, I was like, yep, Death Storm 100%. I'm sold on it.
When I saw the flame, I immediately thought, well, hey, Bell is right. Like, Bell has been right way more on this series than I have. Like, this looks like Death Storm. This seems as though the kind of effects they would use for Death Storm. I think Bell might be onto something. I think he's right. Here's the thing. I don't think you're right.
It's Eobard, isn't it?
No, I'm not going there. But I do wonder if we're dealing actually, because so why would Deathstorm feed off of greed? Okay, that was kind of the thing that I was left with at the end, or not greed, grief.
Grief, yeah.
You know, So Deathstorm was a Black Lantern, yes?
Yes.
Okay, and the Black Lanterns fed off of emotion. If you think back to, for those that have never read the series Blackest Night, this was a Green Lantern series predominantly. It was a DC Comics kind of big, wide universe crossover type event, but it was predominantly led by kind of the Green Lantern arc and storyline and characters and everything else. And the concept was that these black rings for the Black Lantern Corps was going around finding the kind of reanimating the dead bodies of fallen heroes, and they would go around and terrify people. And at this height of emotion, they would consume them and their emotion, kill them and kind of feed off their emotion, which would power up this kind of big, you know, Black Lantern. That was kind of the way in which they were fueling up, so to speak.
Big lantern battery kind of thing.
Yeah. So yeah. There's an argument to be made that this they're pulling from those inspirations, and we're dealing with a death storm that is feeding off of grief to power something.
Yeah.
That's
so
possible.
I think, though, this is going to be a death storm that's completely detached from the Black Lantern kind of stuff.
Sure. But
that's the big confusion part. Well, not really confusion part, but the big mystery for me is like how they're going to tie it in and how they're going to make it work without, you know, the Blackest Night kind of stuff fitting in. And so, I mean, Ronnie, you know, he probably was full of grief, you know, having to sacrifice himself and lose out on his fiance and all that kind of stuff. And it ties in with Caitlin, which is another reason why I think they're going that route. Cause you know, there's going to be drama there with Caitlin, who's now, being more serious with her, Dr. Ficus. and so there's a lot of story elements there for both Caitlin, and you know, the rest of Team Flash and with Ronnie and stuff. And so like, I think it would work on a story level, but what I don't know is how it ties in to everything else and like why he's coming back. You know, that's what I don't understand, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't think we've gotten really enough information to sort of at least for me to sort of figure out how it would tie in. I would have to like just jump off the rails and just start guessing at stuff to tie it in.
Yeah,
but I'm still convinced that it is Deathstorm.
Okay, so here's my crazy concept theory. I'm gonna throw it out. I think we will see Deathstorm. I think that we will. I think this is even going to lead us to Deathstorm, but I don't know that it's actually Deathstorm. I think just like this episode, how we saw it manifest as somebody who died, I think that we'll see Ronnie manifest through this flame and be like, and as the flame is feeding off of other people and getting stronger, I think it'll also, you know, maintain and get these abilities so that not only will it be able to kind of manifest as an individual, but also be able to you know, harness powers similar to that individual. So did you finish Buffy out of curiosity?
No, I haven't finished it yet.
What season are you on? I need to make a reference here.
So I just finished the Dawn season.
Okay. Well, this is not really a spoiler. Okay. I'm going to reference something from the final season, but there's nothing really all that spoilery about it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So in the final season of Buffy, a character shows up that can only really be visibly seen as somebody who's died. And so they don't really have a body unto their own. They can only like ever be somebody who's died. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They only show up as dead people.
Right. There's no primary actor portraying this evil, because the evil can only be like portrayed as somebody who is, you know, as the someone who's died before. So anyway, you'll see what I mean when you get there, and it's really cool, and it's a great way for them to, you know, make several victory laps across that season. But anyway, regardless, I have a feeling that we're dealing with something very similar to that, and that we're dealing with an entity that is going to only be able to appear as individuals that have passed away. But unlike that, I think we're seeing kind of a blending of that concept and then also like a Skrull-esque thing where like not only can it be a Skrull and appear as somebody else, but it can also be a Super Skrull over time as it powers up and take on the powers and abilities of whoever it's being. So
basically what you're saying is like, you know, it appeared as Chester's dad to Chester and everyone else in the room.
Yes.
Because it was trying to feed on Chester. But
right.
If it were to manifest in front of
it could be Barry as Nora or other Nora, like it could be, you know, in front of Iris, it could be her mom in front, like it could be so many different people.
But it could be Ronnie in front of Caitlin.
Right. And it's doing that, I think, primarily because that's how it's kind of pulling out the grief from somebody. You know, is obviously appearing as somebody who meant a lot to them, that had a traumatic death experience in their life, which is, I mean, when somebody dies, generally it's very rare that it's not a traumatic experience. So I think that's the case. I think we will see Deathstorm, but I don't think that this thing is Deathstorm. Here's my crazy wild theory. I think, Val, that we are seeing kind of a Black Hand. I do think that we are going with a Blackest Night type situation. This is my wild speculation, okay? We've had so many teases about Diggle being a Green Lantern, and then it's like they're never going to pay that off. Well, what if this is building up to actually pay that off, where this thing kind of comes up and kind of, by the time it's fully fueled, it becomes a Black Lantern, probably Black Hand, and Diggle has to be tapped in at the end for them to take it down. And so, and Diggle actually becomes a Green Lantern as part of this. We actually see him as a Green Lantern as part of this.
So we're going to go from not having any Green Lanterns at all to like an entire, you know, War of Light with multiple Green Lanterns, like Flash being Hope, or just one Lantern's going to take down the...
Yeah, it's the CW. It's the Flashpoint was two episodes. It wasn't even two episodes. But this is the CW. Okay, this is what they have done in this universe of the series, is that they'll take like these really kind of epic storylines and kind of cram them into, you know, 45-minute block that they have to work with. I think that's definitely what's going to happen if they ever approach that storyline. And so I think there might be something there. I think that this is actually setting up something where they got to tap Diggle in. And we see Flash, Cold, everybody kind of dealing with this Black Lantern entity. Like, again, I don't know if it's going to be Black Hand, but I think it might end up appearing as a bunch of dead people over time. And through that, we'll also see dead villains that have come before. I think this, in a similar way to how Buffy utilized the concept for its final season, not knowing whether or not they'd get a future season. Of course, now we know there's going to be a next season of The Flash. But I think they went into this season with the mindset that this could be it. And so I think that's why things are set up the way it is, for us to get maybe some victory lap moments in this with this particular character. That's my wild speculation. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the one thing about Ronnie and Deathstorm that kind of is weird is that he appeared as Chester's dad, and maybe that's just part of his powers, to tap into people's grief and do the thing that you're talking about. I would still think that there would be a singular entity that is able to manifest itself as other people that are associated with that person's grief, like whoever they're attacking, that they can manifest themselves as that person's grief. But I think that there will be a form of the entity that is its base form. And I think that's going to be Deathstorm.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll definitely see. We asked a couple of y'all what was going on Twitter. Some of the speculations that we got back. Let's see what we got here. Kyle thinks that it's going to be Cobalt Blue, Kyle Cross. We also have Fox, who agrees with you that we're dealing with Deathstorm. And then Jacob Young, my man out here, saying Eobard Thawne. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
There's always one.
It was Eobard. It's always Eobard.
It's always Eobard.
Eventually, it's always
Eobard. What if it is Eobard? Like, what if it really is Eobard?
He's in prison right now. You're going to hear me, Bell, you're going to hear me say something that you have never heard me say on this series. It's not Eobard. Okay, it's not.
Dun, dun, dun. Who are you, and where have you put Bo? Oh,
wait, am I? Am I Eobard?
Maybe. only Eobard would deny that it's Eobard.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, we'll see. We want to hear y'all's speculations. Head over to the TV Talk Twitter handle. Let us know. That's at TV Talk FM. Again, that's at TV Talk FM. Yeah, we've been doing these podcasts live these last couple of weeks on Sundays. If you'd like to join us for the live broadcast, you can find it on our YouTube channel. The link to the YouTube channel can be found at tvtalk.fm. Again, that is tvtalk.fm. Follow Bell at Ring That Bell. Again, follow the show at TV Talk FM. That's going to do it for us for this week. But until next time, we'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.